Welcome back to Coast AM. My next guest has just a fascinating story. For almost 20 years, she has been working with energy. As a child, she was able to see people's energy patterns and light around them. And as an adult, she had an incredible awakening experience that allowed her to see and experience energy in a totally different way. Dr. Sue Morter is going to be joining us. She has created and developed this wonderful system called the Energy Codes. Her brand new book is coming out next week, very exciting, called the Energy Codes. It's a life-changing program that has enabled thousands of people from all over the world overcome pain, disease, fatigue, anxiety, depression by awakening your inner creativity and utilizing ancient healing techniques in order to find your own inner power. And a lot of it's through breath, but it really goes into kind of supernatural abilities as well. As you hear from Dr. Sue Morter, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So stay with me. We will be right back. This is Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Dr. Sue Morter, she knows how to biohack our astral body, which is absolutely incredible because not only do we have energy flowing through our entire body system, but that energy, through the incredible use of utilizing ancient techniques and ancient healing practices, and combining that with cutting-edge science, the energy codes can really help us kind of hack through our own body energy codes and our astral body. Welcome, Dr. Sue. How are you?
Oh, fabulous. Great to be here.
Yes, let's turn this up. So tell me, my friend, you have the energy codes. What are the energy codes? How did you discover them through this awakening experience you had?
Well, it's a codified system to truly tap into every aspect of our being. You know, we think that we're five sensory beings that are here operating in a stimulus response world, and there is such a greater reality available to us that I happened upon in an ancient meditation practice that I was doing, and just awakened to the multidimensionality of who we are. And interestingly, as a kid, I was awake to many of these things, but I was shutting it down continually because it, you know, you don't fit in. It doesn't seem to be what everybody else is talking about, and so start making your parents nervous when you start asking questions about things that you see energetically, et cetera. This is what was happening in my early years. And so I shut it down because I didn't want to make anyone uncomfortable.
In a
I guess
family of
my
doctors, too, right?
pardon?
You grew up in a family of doctors.
Grew up in a family full of doctors, and so it was all about the science and all about the reproducibility of life, et cetera. And yet there were some unfamiliar things happening, and you know, it's at some point you have to try to set a context for yourself. And so this is where I was, and I was a little stressed out living in the world that way. When we shut down our own innate abilities, we inherently start to feel like a separate self, and that there's something missing or something wrong, et cetera. And so in the midst of that stress level, I found myself becoming a high super performer as a way to kind of outrun it, not feel that feeling that something was just not adding up. And the problem was I became good at it. And so, you know, this is what we do. And then in the midst of that, I running a very successful practice of my own, treating patients, getting great results, I also felt that there was still something missing. And so I tried to get back those abilities that I had as a kid, and couldn't do it. And
The
it
light,
was just,
you stopped seeing the energy patterns and light around people, the more immersed you
yeah.
got into the
So
sights. I see.
yeah, as a kid, I could see energy around my father as he was teaching seminars on stage. I would watch him walk back and forth across the platform, and I would ask my mom, "What's that? You know, what's that yellow thing following Dad around?" And she would look, and of course she wouldn't really have the same experience. And so I could see that it was a little confusing to her. And I would ask the kids at school what was that red thing, you know, bouncing around on the playground. And I make the joke that I played alone at recess a lot because not everybody was seeing these things. So I shut it down. And then years later, I tried to get that back because it was so fascinating. I had been able to reach my hand into a bowl full of M&Ms, and I could open it up and tell my brothers, you know, how many of the yellow ones and the green ones were in my hand, and then open it up, and it would be accurate. And we could do all kinds of things with cards, where I could tell them if it was a face card or a number card or a black or a red card, and these kinds of experiences. And so in my 20s, I wanted to get that back, even though I had shut it down earlier, and I couldn't get it back. And so I was drawn into meditation, and then in
to look within
meditative experience, just redirecting my attention and dropping deep in internally, accessed a version of myself that had been sitting dormant for a few decades, and boy, did it light up again. And so the energy codes came about as a process after this meditation experience. I turned my life into a living laboratory because I wanted to be able to access this experience all the time. It was similar to what many people had described as out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences. And when I was starting to read books that people were writing about such things, and then had this experience myself, I started to realize that we were all accessing the same aspect of our consciousness, and it was readily available to us without having to have a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience the way that so many people were starting to write
explain
about or
mm-hmm.
or seek to have. And
it does so help when other people start talking about it. It gives permission in the space to be able to explain it. Now, this experience you had, this awakening, where did that start, and what was the experience? What did you feel?
So I was having, I was having a lot of success in my life, and I was also feeling like something was missing that I was supposed to experience that I wasn't experiencing. And so I was drawn to meditation, and I had already developed a perfectionistic way of high performing in life. And so as I started to try to meditate, of course, I approached it the same way. I was trying to meditate perfectly and making sure I was, you know, doing it the right way. And what happened was at a certain point, I realized that that's what I was doing, and I just wasn't going to have it that way anymore. And I was bound and determined to stake a claim for myself. And I sat down in a room of probably 200 or 300 other people meditating, and at a retreat. Mm. And I was very focused internally on my own true experience for once, rather than trying to do it the right way or the way that everyone else, you know, is alludes to that you're supposed to do things along these lines. And I just claimed that whatever was going to happen or not happen, it was going to be mine for the first time. And they were chanting Sanskrit words that I didn't understand at the time, and they were holding these tones in a very long, slow fashion, which is not very easy to do when you are a chest breather and rapid breathing and not used to being able to breathe slowly or deeply in such a fashion. And so I was having to concentrate with everything I had to make this happen, and meditation experience happen, but to make it so that I could keep in tandem with this chant and these words that everyone was saying. And so as I did that, certain things started to fall into place all at the same time. And I lit up. My consciousness completely illuminated beyond my thinking, analytical mind. And the next thing I knew, I was in a brilliant, bright light, 10 times brighter than the brightest day in the desert I had ever seen. And I could see 360 degrees in every direction the same, no matter what. I didn't have to look in any particular direction. I could see everywhere, in front of me, behind me, to the left, to the right, above and
below.
You
were aware of it all.
All of it, simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was me, but I was not in a body. I was this ray of light. And I could see the earth beneath me, about the size of a marble, and I was embedded into it up to what would have been my knees. But I didn't have knees. I was just this ray of light. And this light above me was so brilliantly bright. And every time I took a breath in to begin this chant in the next verse, this beautiful horizon, a pink, iridescent, translucent, beautiful blanket of light would rise up at like the wings of a stingray swimming under the ocean in slow motion, just that motion of rising up and then lowering down so powerfully and so gracefully every time I took a breath. And what I knew in that moment was that everything that was happening as light was being compressed into a vibration that we call love. And this vibrational frequency was moving down through my system and into the earth as love. And I knew that every one of us is exactly that, that we are just these rays of light, of consciousness, breathing frequency to the planet. And that frequency is love, if we let it be. And that, you know, the most amazing thing about that moment was that I felt like there was nothing missing. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing to become. I was there. I had always been there. And I was going to always be there. And what was happening in that moment was truer than anything that I have experienced.
It was the prior. Most real thing ever.
It was It was more real than if you stick your hand out to the desk or a computer or, you know, touch a chair or something around you, or driving a car, you're holding onto the steering wheel, and it certainly feels real. But there was another reality that was a greater dimensionality. And it comparatively, when I came out of that, life looked like a photograph instead of 3D. It looked flat compared to where I had been. I had been in a multiple dimension perspective. And this third dimension seemed as flat as a postcard versus if you had a picture of someone right next to their, someone is standing there and you have a picture of them and you're holding them next to each other. And the difference that you would see, the distinct difference between looking at a live person and looking at a picture of them, was how life looked to me because of what had opened up in my own consciousness in this experience.
So you saw multiple
many
dimensions
as well, but yes.
So you saw the multiple dimensions of our of what is potentially here, rather than just the limited reality that we see. And you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that is how life really exists. That's how
Absolutely.
We really should live.
We experience a very limited version mm-hmm. of what is possible. And it's a circuitry issue. And meaning, if we had more of our circuitry on fire lit up, we would be able to perceive more that is actually right here than we do perceive. We can't perceive it because the circuits aren't fired up. They're not lit up. They're not turned on. And that's That's by design. We can only handle what we can handle, right? And so until we become more grounded and more integrated as individuals, it becomes very difficult to open at the third eye level, the ability to perceive these multiple dimensions, because it would blow the circuits that we have if we didn't have the groundedness of our entire system.
Isn't that interesting, though, because we choose such suffering instead. We choose this life of contraction and disease and suffering. And I say choose because if we really knew of this potential multidimensional universe, wouldn't we want to live there more?
It would certainly make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
to opt for this. And yet people do not realize that they have that option.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize how they could go about accessing it. And that's, you know, the biggest challenge that we face is that there's a reality available to us that we hear about from time to time. And there are ways to access it. And yet we live in a culture that is firing up a certain set of circuits all the time. And because of that, it leaves us kind of in forward motion, in overdrive, in that reality. And what happens as a byproduct of that is utter frustration.
Yes,
you know, yes. I work with patients and clients all the time, and that's certainly where they're stuck. It's where humanity is operating, and it has not always been that way, but it has certainly been that way for thousands of years. And
it's so much slower. So much slower.
Yes. Yes.
And now this multidimensional universe is really where the energy codes came from. Is how to unlock that? Is that what those are?
So what I did was when I turned my life into this living laboratory, I began to determine what was required for me to return to this elevated, exalted state that I had accessed in meditation. And I was completely obsessed with figuring out how to do that. And I was taking notes and I was sharing things with patients. And when I would share the things that were working for me to get closer and closer to those states, my patients started getting better faster. And they started staying better longer. And they started having different types of experiences as well. And as I would get to know some of the studies that were associated with near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences and meditative experiences, I would begin to weave all of this together and find ways for people to access the certain layers of energies that we are made of, because we're made of just pure energy, and that energy is vibrating at different frequencies. So there are certain frequencies that vibrate at what we call our mental body level, and other frequencies that vibrate at a different state that we would reference as our emotional states, and different frequencies that are our etheric body, which is where the chakra system resides, et cetera, and other frequencies that are our physical body. And within that, subcategories that would represent the endocrine system or the chemical balance system or the cardiovascular system. Each of these are just different vibrational frequencies. Every single aspect of our being is a multitude of layers of energetic frequencies. And so what I started doing was teaching myself how to tap into these various individual radio stations within our own system.
Speaking of radio stations, we're going to have to take a quick break here, Dr. Sue, to be on this radio station. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to tap into these energy codes, and we will be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. My guest is Dr. Sue Mortar, and she developed the energy codes. You can start to check this out on the website, which is theenergycodes.com. The energy codes are a set of resources, really, that are a life-changing program that have helped people all over the world overcome pain and disease by finding this codified system in the body, as Dr. Sue was talking about, the multidimensional universe that we live in, and really start to decode what is going on in the body. So can we talk about pain and what pain is, Dr. Sue, and how we could use the energy codes to work with it?
Absolutely. So pain patterns are a blockage of energy flowing through the body. The body is supposed to have energy. In fact, it is made of energy, and that energy is supposed to be moving, flowing freely. And when it gets blocked based on a variety of things, blockages can occur because of physical injuries, blockages can occur because of emotional unresolvedness, unforgivenness. These types of things block energy actually more often than anything. Other forms of blockages are prolonged, eating improperly, mm-hmm. creating acidic conditions in the body, et cetera. All kinds of things can contribute to the energy not flowing through the body the way that it is supposed to. And as we learn through the energy codes to get that energy moving again, then pain patterns and unresolved injuries that have not healed, chronic illnesses that have just developed over time, that begin to shift and change. Everything is energy, including us, and that energy is vibrating in different frequencies. Our different thoughts and emotions all create different vibrational frequencies within our system. And if we are unaware of how to manage our lives from this basic raw energetic level, then we are at the effect of, and the side effect of, these blockages occurring and creating an inability for the body to heal, et cetera. So pain is an excess of energy in an area of the body. Hmm. And when we get an area of excess, there's also an area of deficiency. So we could have a tendency for reoccurring injuries or injuries that don't heal because of a deficiency of energy in other areas of the body. So ultimately what we have to do is find a balance, a harmonizing of that energy flow again. And interestingly, as we do, we not only heal, we start to move from just this surviving, healing individual self to a thriving, flowing, multidimensional energy being that has access to deep wisdoms that we thought were only available to the ancients who wrote the sacred texts and revealed this information through the Kabbalah or through the Upanishads or the Yoga Sutras or the Vedas, these oldest ancient writings that we know of as the original personal development, scriptures, if you will. And so as we tap our own true multidimensionality, we too have access to these universal truths, which we consider deep, ancient, sacred wisdoms. We are all made of those vibrational frequencies, and the key is to allow our consciousness to begin to tap that again. So the idea of pain and healing becomes really elementary to what we're really focusing on as we start to awaken to our true power. We are here to more than just learn how to heal and learn how to get by and mm-hmm. learn how to survive and do
yeah.
and make a way in the world. We're here to wake up to the fact that we are made of everything that in the manifest world. When you compress all of the energies in the manifest world, you ultimately get physical form, and the human form is part mm-hmm. of that. And so we are here to awaken to that greatness, truly, that is beyond a third dimensional being. I heard you mention that conversations about previous life on Earth and present life on Earth and, what's happening here. And what happened for me when I had this awakening was I tapped in to this deep truth that has been forever that is always and has always been and will always be. And that's what we're actually made of. So I go to sacred sites around the world. And when I'm there, going up the Nile to these temples throughout Egypt, or I'm in Peru and at Machu Picchu, and witnessing these temples that were built, these structures that were built, cities that were built in fashions that we have not yet rediscovered the technology to do the things that were put into place these thousands and thousands and tens of thousands and 100,000 years ago. And yet it is so obvious that something was profound. And when I'm going along and looking in these temples, I'm able to translate the hieroglyphs and ask the Egyptologist, who's the tour guide that was guiding us, I asked him, do you read it this way or do you read it this way? And, you know, right to left or left to right. And we got into a conversation. And as I was showing him what I was seeing there, because it was matching what I had put together as the energy codes, it was revealing the same truths when we looked at it from that perspective. And he was blown away with what I was sharing with him. And he's become a student of the energy codes and has, and this is a very respected Egyptologist who is, you know, dear friends, we have the governor of Luxor has dinner with us when we're taking our groups there. And likewise, let me just say just another moment about this, that when I'm in Peru, I'm looking at these stones in the sacred valley that are making up these temples and these walls that are considered, you know, sacred spaces on our planet. And I'm looking at these stones that are placed so meticulously next to each other in such a fashion that you couldn't even slip a dime between them. And yet these were, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago that these were put into place. And it is so obvious that these were not stones that were carved, but that they look more like a melding of something. So I went there, you know, I've been taking groups there for years, and I'm standing there saying that these don't look like normal stones. They look like something else has happened here. And the last time I was there last year, our tour guide let me know that there had been a group of German scientists that had been there studying for 3 years the nature of these same stones that I was looking at. And they had determined that they were not typical stones, that they were not the way that we think of as stones, because they don't have the normal veining through them that marbles or the articulation that granites have. But yet they were here, these massive structures that certainly look like a rock, but there's something very unique about them. And they had determined that there was a fusion that happened, that there was a fusion, a melding, an alchemical process that happened. And they dated it back to, you know, somewhere around 100,000 years ago, that something was happening there and of a technology that we know nothing about. When you go back over to ancient Egypt and you see these giant stones that are carved from the earth and stood upright as these giant obelisks, and you go to the quarry where these were being, you know, generated and lifted and moved over to the places that they are, and you can see that the stone doesn't look chiseled at all. The remnants that are left behind, the portion that's still in the earth where these obelisks were carved out of, that there is actually, it looks like if you had a giant ice cream scoop and you were scooping it out inside the canister, you know, the container. And it looks like it's been melded out of there, like with some kind of laser technology. And again, they're dating this back to around 100,000 years ago. Now, the relevance to what I'm teaching with the energy codes is that I can look at these things and I know that there is a history there, and I can share with people how to cultivate that kind of wisdom that is in us. And here's the point. It has also been said that the human DNA molecule is actually a fusion of multiple different species, that there are multiple different dynamics at work inside the human DNA. molecule. And this has been around for decades, but not something that's readily spoken about. And so when we start to look at all of this and to recognize that we are, science currently is stating that we have the power to change our own DNA molecules just with our minds, and that our DNA molecule has an effect on the outer world. And the quantum science is showing us that we are creating our reality, that we are empowered to do this. And what I know is that teaching people to use their mind and their breath and their body in a different way than we've been trained in our world, in our regular culture, has led people to heal all kinds of things that they were told would not heal. And I personally have healed the scoliosis in my own body. I healed migraine headaches in that were a pattern that was disrupting my ability to go to work 1 or 2 days a week for months on end.
By restructuring your DNA?
By restructuring how I use my mind.
Okay.
And what happens as a byproduct of that is that we start turning on and turning off different components of our own cellular structure, our molecular structure, including the DNA molecule. What happens is that through the study of epigenetics, which is becoming a commonly known new science on the surface of our planet,
yes,
in our culture, and epigenetics is teaching us that the power of our mind is stronger than the power of our genetic inheritance. That with the focus of our mind and the way we believe, or the way that we let go of our limiting beliefs, so that we let go of our believing mind altogether and just develop this mindfulness and this witnessing mind that we've been hearing more and more about, that the more we do that, the more we start to free up our own body's expression to perfect itself. The body is designed to be self-healing, self-regulating, and self-illuminating. And yet, if we continue to operate in such a fashion that boxes it in because of limiting perceptions of ourselves or of life or of the fact, you know, this idea that we're not enough or that somebody did us wrong and we've been in reaction to that for, you know, 20 years. And if we continue to live in states like that, we are not using our faculties the way that they are designed to be used. And if we continue to do that, we just get sicker and sicker and sicker. And if we, as we learn to let go of that confinement of this belief system, and even depending on our belief systems to such a tremendous degree, and allowing something else to be true deep within us, and to allow it to be inherently good and whole and complete, then what happens is that energetic vibrational frequency starts to run the show, run our bodies and run our lives. And our bodies start to heal. So,
and then we think something's broken or missing if we don't have that something's wrong with us. And we are also told you have a disease, you have this wrong with you, and it disconnects us from what you're describing is our original DNA. And if we really could tap into that, we can restore our body's energy code, right?
Exactly. And we can. And that's exactly what I've spent the last 15 years doing and teaching others to do. Is what happens is we begin to connect with a greater sense of perfection rather than perfectionism. Perfection is the recognition that everything that I'm feeling is okay, and everything that is present in this moment is not threatening and instead is actually supportive to me. And that if I can get out of the fear of the future or the regret of the past and come to this present moment fully and wholly, my energy field starts to perfect itself. And every moment that I can stay right there, it continues to do so. And so when we teach ourselves to meditate, or we teach ourselves to kick our minds into neutral and to just be present with what is and to be okay with whatever I'm feeling and whatever I want to pursue or to allow in my life is exactly an ingredient that is needed, that is necessary. And as long as I'm not hurting other people by doing so,
right,
I'm in alignment with a universal flow that is ultimately going to allow me to heal. It's just, we can't really imagine how to do it until
right.
we get a system in track.
It's not super intuitive. That's the issue, is it's not super intuitive. You don't look inside and say, oh, that molecule in my DNA strand is off. I really need to correct it. You know, I wish it would be that easy.
How to do that.
What?
We haven't been taught how to do that.
But it's possible, right?
It is completely possible.
Wow.
So it's through the feeling body that these things happen. It's through our ability to sense and feel and tend to what's going on in this inner laboratory that we are, that we begin to tap into the how-to. You know, what I'm teaching in the energy codes is the how-to. What I'm speaking about now is what if, and let's take it beyond the what if, and let me share that people are coming off of medications, people are avoiding surgeries, people are here to tell about their life transformations, their relationship transformations, their self-perception, their self-love transformations, because of hooking up the circuits that are inside of every single one of us and learning how to do that step by step.
Mm.
So my process became reproducible and methodical as I was working with more and more people over the years, and I was noting what was working and what wasn't. So 100% of this is put together because I had an experience that was transcendent, and I wanted to have it again. And I started studying my own thoughts and my own use of my mind,
mm-hmm,
and my own body and the use of my breath and what the connection and interrelationship was. I started sharing it with other people, and 100% of what I am teaching and writing about is the how-to do exactly that.
That it's replicatable beyond you. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. And this is what the energy codes is Dr. Sue Mortar's explanation of this 20 plus years of experience in a way that you can replicate this. It's a different way of thinking, but it's totally accessible to us, which I love. We're going to take a quick break again, Sue. And in the meantime, if you guys want to check out the book, which is theenergycodes.com, you can find out more and do your own research as we take this quick break here. And we will be back with Dr. Sue Mortar on Coast to Coast AM.